Yeah, when I saw that I was down to speak this morning an hour's lead, and I thought there'd been a mix-up on the rotor, but apparently not. So I've got the job to speak on Father's Day, which is interesting. And at first, I was quite excited to be speaking on Father's Day, but to be honest, this day has been one of the hardest days of my calendar year for a number of years, well, up until the last couple of years, but for about 4 or 5 years, Father's Day was a real struggle for me. And before, this isn't part of the talk, by the way, this is just kind of an aside, but and I'm just aware that Father's Day, you know, isn't always an easy day for people, and Lau alluded to it this morning in terms of people that have lost fathers. There's fatherless children out there, and there's childless fathers as well. So I just want to start by praying for those people, if that's okay. Father, I want to thank you that I'm able to stand here and be a father this morning on a day where, for many years, today was just horrible, just thinking about the dreams that I had and not being able to fulfill them. And Father, I know that there's a lot of people sat in this room who will be struggling today or thinking of days, of years gone by where Father's Day was great and today it isn't, or hoping that future Father's Days will be great and today isn't. So Father, I pray for those people, and we pray for the people that we know who are friends of ours who are in that situation outside of church as well. And we just ask, Lord Jesus, that you would comfort these people, bring peace, and bring your truth into these situations, Lord. And we just pray that it would be your spirit that would come through in these situations and nothing else. So we just ask for your hand on our lives. Bless today for all of us, and Father, just be with us. Amen. Okay, so this morning, you can see my talk is called Who's the Daddy? And it's called To Be Fat. So in the dictionary, I looked up the word father, and the word before father is fathead. And the word after father is fatigue. And I thought that was quite apt. So I decided to go for fat. But I've actually gone for double fat because I've got two Fs, two As and two Ts for you this morning. When I was preparing for today, I was thinking about, I don't want to just do another talk, all right? I personally have this view that a lot of talks in church just are great, but they're really passive. And I don't know about, I hope I'm not offending anyone. But basically, this morning, I want a little bit of interaction. So is that all right? Is everyone, I want a bit of buy-in at the start from everyone to say that there's going to be some interaction. So there we go. So if you wait for the first sort of 25, 30 minutes, and then there'll be a bit of interaction at the end. No, I'm only joking. Okay, right, let's move swiftly on. Okay, so I just wanted to start with kind of what I talked about just a minute ago, which is, it's Father's Day today. It's easy to straight away jump to conclusions about, you know, what Father's Day means to you, what father means to you. And it's easy for me to do a talk on fatherhood and alienate a good majority of the room who are female. Now, my view is, actually, what I wanted to bring this morning was, you know, God is the Father, and we are his representatives here in this community and amongst our families. And, you know, we're called to reflect the heart of God in our lives and our outworking and what we do. And if we are called to reflect the heart of God, then we are all called to reflect a father's heart. So this morning I'm looking at a number of characteristics of a father's heart that are appropriate for everyone to be fathers. So first off, first thing to say this morning is everyone in this room is called to be a father, okay? A fat father. Right, we'll come on to that. So just a few little stats to start off with. Statistics say there's 1 million kids in the UK who don't have a presence of a father in their lives. 63% of youth suicide comes from fatherless homes. 1,000 teenagers are leaving church each week. I'm not sure whether this stat's absolutely right or not, but I did a bit of research and it might be. Not this church. There's not 1,000 teenagers leaving this church. Everyone's thinking, where were they? I never even saw them. But generally across the UK in church, there's 1,000 teenagers who were brought up in church or going to church and leaving. And I've just put at the bottom there, Marlow needs fathers. We can all think of situations in Marlow where the characteristics of a father is required and can break a situation. So this is just to back up my belief that we're all called to be fathers. You know, I know that when I became a Christian at 15, my family, none of my family were Christians. It's good to, that they're here this morning. But at that time, they weren't Christians. So I had no spiritual input from any sort of fatherhood figure. So there's certain people that have given me that spiritual input. You know, they've been fathers, spiritual fathers, Christian fathers to me, some of whom are in this room. And you can all probably think of people that have done that, been that person in your life, or, you know, kind of brought that input. And I want to say as well that it's not that you're replacing anyone by having spiritual father figures or father figures in your life. You need more than one. You know, I, my desire for Bella, my daughter, is that actually she has lots of fathers, because I know there's people that will be able to bring spiritual father input into her life that I won't be able to bring, partly because I'm her natural dad, but also because I haven't got those skills, abilities, and thoughts. So let's grab hold. This is just a kind of reinforcing of, let's grab hold of the fact that there's things that we, you know, there's people out there, there's people in this room, there's people out there who need us to be fathers in their lives, not just male role models, but actual father figures who bring fatherly support and advice. So we're going to look at some of the characteristics now. So this is my call to be fat. The first F is faithful. And basically, a father is a faithful figure. A father is someone who will do what's required in any situation. And to reinforce my my comments before, I have a friend who some of you might know, a guy called Chris Briggs. Does anyone know Chris Briggs? And basically, his uncle has the disease, motor neurone disease. I don't know if anyone knows motor neurone disease, but basically, my uncle died of motor neurone disease, and it's a horrible, horrible thing. You know, when you see someone with motor neurone disease, it's debilitating. It just slowly grinds away at the body and takes away functions to the point where you just can't do anything, basically. Now, Chris Spriggs is a friend of mine, and his uncle had motor neurone disease, and his uncle was a really, really keen marathon runner. And basically, his uncle had been deteriorating to the point where he was in a wheelchair and couldn't walk anymore. And Chris decided that his view of God's heart for someone and his view in this situation was that that shouldn't stop him being able to run a marathon. And so Chris took the decision and said to his uncle, "We're going to run a marathon together." And so basically, he spent 2 years of his life training, running marathon. He had to get fit himself first, training, then pushing an empty wheelchair, and then pushing his uncle round. And basically, this year, he did the Brighton Half Marathon as a warm-up, and they weren't allowed in the Brighton Half Marathon at first, and he phoned the organisers and said, look, this is a situation, blah, blah, blah. And the organisers said, look, we're really sorry, but we just can't do about it. And then they talked and talked for ages, and he prayed and prayed, and he went back to them. And then eventually they came back to him and said, you know what? We've made an exception for you. And actually, we'd like you to start the marathon. We'd like you to be the ones that, you know, start the marathon. So I probably should have a picture of him up there rather than my dog, but I haven't got one. So, So basically, he did the Brighton Half Marathon in, I don't know, February or March. And then a few months later, he did the Brighton Full Marathon. And he literally pushed his uncle 26 miles around the marathon course in his wheelchair. And I just thought, what a great example of how someone is being a father figure in a situation where it's completely not natural. You know, this guy has been a father figure to his uncle and saying, do you know what? The Father in Heaven says that I'm faithful to you, and you are, your passion, what you live for is running, so I'm going to make that still possible for you. So he stepped in and did that. So that's the first F. Now what I want to do, here's the audience participation, because I don't want to talk loads, because, you know, I could just throw the six words up there, and you guys would know what they all mean, so it's irrelevant in one sense. And we hear enough stuff. But what I want to do is I want to have some impact. So, if you're sitting there and you're thinking, that's great, I want some of that. If you want to bring faithfulness and faith into other people's lives in the way that Father God wants you to, I'd like you to stand right now. I'm not bothering with responses at the end. I'm going for responses all the way through. So, okay, that's cool. Right. What I'd like you to do is I'd like you, because everyone's pretty much stood up, but I'd like you to just turn to the person next to you, and I'd just like you to lay your hands on them and just say a quick prayer and encourage them in faithfulness and say, step out in faithfulness. Father, I want to pray for all of these people that they would bring this gift of faithfulness, this ability to bring release into people's lives, the ability to see a situation in a friend, family, or community member and say, God wants this for you. I'm going to step in and make this possible for you. Father, I pray for each and every person that stood that you would increase their faithfulness and that you would bring opportunity into their lives, bring people into their lives where they would be able to outwork that faithfulness. Jesus. Sit down. Okay, so that's the first F, faithfulness. Dan West, when you stood up, I believe God's going to put some very, very specific people in front of you over the next week or two who you're going to look at, and straight away the first word that's going to come into your head is faithfulness. And you're going to then need to say to the Lord, Lord, show me more in what you want here. Show me this. And he's going to show you examples of how you can unlock that faith and faithfulness in those people. I believe that. Okay, the next F. I'm going to do two Fs, two As, two Ts. So it's not really fat. It's kind of fat. But I don't care. Okay. So the next F. Yeah, that's right. It's not actually me, surprisingly. But pretty much could be, yeah. Okay, so obviously the next F is fun. Now, I'm all about the fun, as we all know. But any... The Father heart of God is about fun. He wants us to laugh. He wants us to enjoy life. You know, this is not a kind of exercise in discipline and struggle and everything's a lesson. You know, God wants us to laugh and enjoy and have fun together. You know, I talked to Kaz about this and, she was saying, you know, I was talking about what stories have we got of our dads being fun with us, and we just had loads of things where we could think of. Kaz's dad was talking about playing hide and seek in the house and her dad being like really childish and stuff. And my dad's basically a big kid. And you know, so it was difficult to think of a time where he wasn't being fun. But, you know, as well, as a granddad, Bella just thinks my dad is the best thing ever, like absolutely ever. She just thinks he's so much fun, and you know, way more fun than I am. So it's like it's just amazing. And there's something about being able to relate to people and bring that fun. And I think as a church, one thing I think we're brilliant at is bringing fun. And if you think about the history of Holiday Week and Holiday Blast, that for me is just that sums up a picture of how we are bringing that father heart, that fun, into our community. So, you know, I just want to commend that to you. And basically, I was starting to think, well, what is it that makes it fun? And it dawned on me that basically, when you're having fun, or when my dad's being fun with Bella, it's around not doing things you would normally do. And it's about saying, I'm going to do something that you would do, that you find fun, but actually I don't, you know, on my own, this would be really weird. So it's like my dad does this dance with Bella in front of the, you know, this video thing, and it's just hilarious. It's hilarious. I'm not going to embarrass him. And you just think he wouldn't. Well, he probably would do it without her there. That's the problem. But basically, it's about putting yourself in that position, isn't it? It's about kind of getting on your hands and knees, getting dirty, doing something silly. You know, kind of dancing around and being a bit, you know, stupid. And it's basically what you're saying is what you see as important and what you see as fun is more important than me looking dignified or all of that sort of stuff. You know, I don't know whether any of you remember that song, worship song we used to sing, I'll Become More Undignified Than This. Do you remember that? I just used to hate that song because it was like, because basically you'd have all these people stood there going, I'll become even more undignified than this. And you think, I'm pretty sure you could get more undignified than that, just swaying or kind of, yeah, undignified. It's like that other song, the Over the Mountains and the Sea, it's like, everybody's dancing now because we're so happy, and there's no one's dancing. And it's like, stop singing the song if you're not going to dance. Okay, that's completely off chart. Fun. We're talking about fun. I've actually got a Bible verse. Right. Okay, in Matthew 18 it says, at that time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and let him stand among them, and he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea." And I was just thinking, that's not really a fun verse, but it's quite serious, isn't it? It's like Jesus couldn't really be any more kind of firm about his view on treating children well and being childlike, you know, in our attitudes and having that kind of element of just abandoning ourselves to become childlike and have fun. So anyone who thinks, yeah, I either need more fun, I need to be more fun, or I want to bring fun into other people's lives, I'd like to stand up now. You don't all have to stand up every time, right? It's not. No one's looking at those sitting down. Okay, now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to find someone that stood near you, and I want you just to either give them a big hug or tell them something funny that's happened to you or tell them a joke. So go. Father God, I just pray for all of these people for an abundance of fun. I pray for a complete abandon of dignification, if that's even a word. And I just pray that these guys would just release fun, laughter and joy into the hearts and minds of people that need it, Lord Jesus. So Father, do that in Jesus' name. And we pray for opportunity for these guys to have fun and bring fun this week. Brilliant. John Stonehill, you are Mr. Fun. I was just looking around and I just saw you and I thought, I love you. You are proper funny. And I want you to actively seek out. I want you to deliberately seek out opportunities to bring fun and do things. I want you to, in those moments, I know, I don't know you brilliantly, but I know you well enough to know that you probably have quite a lot of cheeky thoughts where you're like, should I do this? This would be really funny, but should I do it? Over this next few weeks, I want you just to do them. Don't stop yourself from doing those things. Just bring the fun. Okay, next one. We're moving on to an A. So we've got affectionate. Okay, basically, we're called to be affectionate. So I've got another Bible verse for you, which is Luke 15, verse 11. And this says, Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and squandered his wealth in wild living. After he'd spent everything, there was severe famine in the whole country." So this is the story of the prodigal son, which we all know. So I'm going to skip to the bit which I want to because of time. So, "I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like your hired men." So he got up and went to his father. "But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him." So basically, the story of the prodigal son is often around, you know, kind of you talk about a person going away and giving it all up and then God forgiving you and all that sort of stuff. But let's look at the father's reaction in this. You know, the father's reaction is one of affection, of love, of compassion. It's not one of discipline and anger and "I told you so." So the important thing is that actually there's an affection. He's not even interested in saying anything. He just goes up to him, gives him a big hug and a kiss. When I was 18, I just learned to drive and what have you, passed my test. And my mum and dad got a brand new car because our other car had been stolen. My brother got it stolen. But the story doesn't get any better. So they'd got a new car, brand new car. And basically, I'd decided that having passed my test a few months previous, that I was probably now ready to be a rally driver. And had a couple of my friends in the car and decided, you know, let's just go for a drive and do a bit of rallying around the lanes of Buckinghamshire. So in my stupidity, I basically was just driving like an idiot and sort of sliding around these country lanes until one night we went out for a drive and basically I put the brakes on, the car skidded, and we hit a bank and flipped over about three times. I had two friends in the car. And I remember we landed on the wheels. The windscreen was smashed out. I couldn't see anything else. I checked that my friends were both okay. They were both fine. The rear roof of the car next to my friend, where there wasn't anyone sitting, had caved in to the point where it was like, if he'd been sat there, the roof was like there. And I remember just sitting there and going, oh my goodness, I've smashed a windscreen. And I didn't get out of the car, and the other guys got out of the car, and they were sort of like trying to, you know, put things in the road to stop other cars from crashing into us. And I just thought, oh my goodness, Mum and Dad are going to kill me. I've smashed a windscreen. And then I got out of the car, and I saw the car, and I was like, oh man, this is not good. This is literally 2 weeks old. And I just remember being really, like, fearful of telling them and speaking to them, and everything in me was just like, this is horrendous. And of course, my mum and dad did what the father of the prodigal son did, which was basically, you're all right. That's all that matters, that you're all right. You know, and I was expecting this big, you know, blah, 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 blah. They still haven't ever told me off for writing the car off, which is brilliant. But they basically kind of just hugged me and just said, you're all right, and that's the main thing. Your friend's right. That's all that matters. So, you know, there's a lot of people out there making mistakes and doing things wrong who need that Father heart of God, that affection in their lives. So if you want to bring that to some people, if you know people that you've already got thoughts of people you want to bring that to, I'd like you to stand up now. Lord, I want to pray for these people standing, and I just pray that you would give them just so much love, compassion, affection, that they would find themselves walking down the street and they would just cry when they look at someone who they can see the lack of affection in their hearts. And Father, I pray that these people standing would bring your Father heart into those situations, that they would bring your affection into those situations and release something in people that enables them to understand the heart of God, to understand how you see them, and to release you into their lives in Jesus' name. Father, I pray you'd do it. Jesus. Amen. Right, if you want to sit down. I'm really struggling for time at the moment. I've still got three to go. But yeah, that's affection. Sally, are we cool, are we? Okay. Okay. That's why it's good you're leading. Sally, when you stood up, I just think it's you all over. You know, if there's anyone in this room, and there's loads of people in this room that I could look at and say this to, but particularly you, when you stood up, the affectionate heart of the Lord is all over you. And I think in the school, the situation that God's brought you into is far more than provision and job and self-esteem and all those things which it is doing. I really believe that God has brought you into that place. I think you're going to bring affection into that school. You're going to infect the school with affection. So I'd really encourage you to do whatever you can just to hug people, to love people, which is all stuff you do anyway, and just throw it on them. Just throw affection out there. And there's kids in that school that have never been hugged. And you need to bring that. You need to bring that from God. Carl Wills last week talked about laying a table in the face of your enemies for people. And this is the same stuff. This is all it is. It's just deciding what you're going to put on the table. So this is the same thing. It's just exactly the same. Okay, let's move on to the next one. Available. Okay. So basically, there's a saying, which is when a father is someone who, when you fall down, they pick you up. If they're unable to pick you up, they lie down next to you. And I just think that's amazing. I just love that. A father is someone who picks you up when you fall down. And if they can't pick you up, they lie down next to you. And I think that sometimes time is the best thing you can give people. Sometimes it's not what you say. It's not what you do. It's literally as simple as lying down next to someone who's fallen over and saying, let's lie here together. It's as simple as that. So available. So it's all about time. It's all about being around. It's all about understanding. It's all about empathy. I'm not going to say any more than that. But if that touches your heart, if you think, yep, I need to make time for some people, I want to bring that to people in my life and in this community, then I'll ask you to stand. Here's what I want you to do. If you're wearing a watch, I want you to take it off. Don't worry if you're not. If you've got a phone, if you're not wearing a watch and you've got a phone, take your phone out because that's got a clock on it. And what I want you to do is I want you just to hold it up and say, God, I give you this. And I just ask you to close your eyes and just pray and just say to God, God, here's my time. It's the one resource that you can't get any more of. It's the most precious resource. You can get more diamonds, more gold, more money, more this, more that. But you can't get more time. Father, I pray for all these people who are holding their watches and their phones that you would give them supernatural time. Father, you are outside of time. A day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. You are outside the bounds of time. So, Father, I pray for every one of these people that you would release supernatural time into their lives so that they may bring that and give that to other people. Give these people the gift of time, of slow speed, of not rushing, of calmness, peace, and enable them to bring that into the lives of others in Jesus' name. Amen.
People time, and that anointing is going to grow, Evelyn. That ability to give people time has always hallmarked you and made you very special in Jesus. And that you know, there's going to be a supernatural thing that God's going to give you more time to do that kind of stuff.
It's good. Okay, so the next one, we're on to our T's, so that's good. The first T is teacher. Okay, I won't read the Bible verse out, but it's John 10, verse 25 to 30, if you want to look it up. And basically, it's about Jesus talking with the disciples and the way he disciples them. And if you want to, you know, Jesus is a teacher, and if you want to see teacher being outworked, it's Jesus. So what does Jesus do? Hi, kids, come on back in. Come on back in. So a teacher doesn't just say, do this, do this, do this. What Jesus does is he walks along when he's choosing his disciples, and he just walks up to them and says, follow me. He doesn't say, guys, here's what I want you to do. He says, follow me. Because what he's thinking is it's easier for them to follow him and watch what he does to learn. And that's the best way to learn. So up here we've got a guy teaching kids football. Any of you kids like football? Yeah. Recognize these sort of drills? So it's much easier to see someone do something and then try and copy it than it is for someone to tell you to do something and then try and do it. So it starts with following with Jesus, then with watching, and then being commissioned. So if you look at the gospel, it starts with the disciples being told to follow Jesus. Then he shows them what to do. Then he talks them through the process and does the miracles. Then he commissions them at the end of the gospels by saying, now you can go out and do greater things than I. You've seen me do it, go and do it. And it's as simple as that. And that's what we need to bring as a characteristic of Father of God into people's lives is this characteristic of teaching. So, sorry kids, but we're getting the adults to stand up and down. You can stand up and down as well if you want. And then we'll have a look at your pictures. So if you want to bring, if you feel like you've got something which you can teach other people, it might be how to manage money. It might be how to treat a partner. It might be how to look after elderly people. It might be how to, you know, look after children. It might be how to love someone. It could be anything that you feel that you've got to bring. I'd like you to stand up if this is speaking to you right now. Father, I want to pray for all these teachers, and I pray that you would give them the gift to take people on a journey with them, that you would take that model of Jesus and you would allow these people to say, follow me, watch what I do. Watch what I do, and you'll be able to do this, and I'll help you to learn how to do this. Father, make these people leaders and teachers who those in our community and those around us that need to learn and develop those skills and bring guidance and need guidance will look at these people and just follow them without even thinking about it. Father, I pray a blessing on these people and just ask that you would give them opportunity this week, next week, and ongoing to outwork this and to bring that gift of teaching. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, and on to the last one. Right, kids who have just come back in, I need your help on this one. Okay, this is trust. And it says there, trust equals reliability plus delight. Right. This could go horribly wrong. This is where the whole morning could go wrong. But we're going to do something here. Okay, so I need some volunteers from the young people that have just come back in. Who is the bravest person among you? Okay, Jacob is the bravest among you. Jacob, I'd like you to stand where Al is sat. And all the other people who are under the age of 15, come up the front because Jacob is going to need your help. So everyone come up. Come on, guys. Everyone come up. So maybe some of the edge guys might want to come up as well. Okay, right. So we're going to do an exercise in trust. So this is another characteristic of God's heart, which is trust. It takes years to build trust and only a few minutes to destroy it. Bella does this thing with me where she'll just leap off stuff at me, and she's basically just trusting that I'm going to catch her. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to see if Jacob trusts us. Are you up for this? Okay, so I need two lines of people. One here where
there's
I'm stood.
Someone older.
Okay. Okay. He's not silly, is he? And that way and that way, facing each other. And I want you to hold each other's hands. So cross your arms, maybe. And okay, really, right. Jacob, you need to turn around. And basically, what we're going to ask Jacob, don't look. Right, everyone move. No, don't. I'm Jacob. Okay, Jacob. What I'm going to ask you to do is just fall backwards and all these guys are going to catch you, right? Yeah. Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Catchers, are you ready? Okay, ready? Look at me. Get ready to fall backwards. One, two, three. Yay! There we go. There we go. Super. Right, you can put him down. Well done. Thank you all. Give my volunteers a round of applause. Okay, so trust is the other one. Another characteristic of the heart of God which we need to bring. I'm aware that I'm completely run over time. So there we are. So basically, we are called to be fat. And if that's the only way you can remember some of these points in my talk, I'm more than happy. So it'd be great to keep praying for some of these things. I want you guys, like I said, I'm not interested in doing talks that are great or whatever, and then people going away going, oh, that was nice, and then a week later forgetting what I said. This is about practical application, okay? Hopefully one of these things, just take one and go, what can I do this week to bring this? Because we've just seen at the start on the slide, there are over a million young people in this country that need these characteristics. Someone's got to bring them. There are people in this church who need this support and these characteristics. It's not even young people. Old people still need these characteristics. There are people whose lives we can change by bringing the Father heart of God into their lives and representing Father in their lives. So you're all called to be fathers. You're all called to be fat. Enjoy Father's Day. Thank you.